Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the Epistle to the Church at Galatia. And we're in Galatians chapter 4, and we'll cover verses 12 through 16. And the title of our message is, Am I Therefore Become Your Enemy? And before getting into the study, we want to share a letter we love from the Sovic family who wrote, Dear Pastor Greg Miller, we homeschool our boys in New York State, and we use your videos online to teach about Jesus and his soon return for the church. Thank you for your ministry and for posting online for all of us to learn from. God bless you, the Sovic family. And thank you for writing and for those very kind words. And we're thrilled to hear from numerous homeschooling families who use our videos as part of their Bible curriculum in homeschooling, and other families who use our videos as part of their Bible study time as a family. And I just can't put into words how encouraging these letters are. And you can write to us by going to bbfohio.com, and you can click on or copy and paste the email address of bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's three B's, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. And send us a message using your email. Or you can write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now, let's begin our study of Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 12.
We'll be in Galatians chapter 4, as I said, verses 12 through 16. We titled it, Am I Therefore Become Your Enemy Because I Tell You the Truth? Okay, I want everybody to look up here. I want to get a good picture. All right, I'm going to take another picture after I'm done. I'll see if you're still smiling. Amen. Let me just remind you, I did not write this book. Galatians chapter 4, let's read verses 12 through 16 together. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spoke of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Amen?
Amen.
God's Word is wonderful. And it's not going to be as bad as some of you are thinking right now. But I want to point out a few things as we get into the text. Paul begins by leveling the field. And this is something I want to remind you of. We are all just sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
Paul was used of God and used wonderfully. But if Paul didn't want to, people say, well, you know, God caused Paul to do it. God forced Paul. No, he didn't. God knocked Paul down and he was blind. And then Paul asked the Lord what he wanted. And the Lord told him, and Paul chose of his own free will to do what he did.
Amen.
All this Calvinist nonsense that turns everybody into robots. And they love to look at Acts 9 and make Paul as an example. Paul's an example of someone being knocked down and choosing to do the right thing. And if you don't think people can be knocked down and still do the wrong thing, you ain't been around much.
Balaam
is an example. Judas was knocked down, and what did he do? He went and hung himself. Throughout the Scripture, people are knocked down and flat on their face and still choose to do the wrong thing. King Saul is an example of that. And the many kings in Israel, as you read through the Bible, are an example of that. Ahab is an example of that. And Paul chose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, and be saved. Then God put His Spirit in him at that moment. And Paul was willing to be used, therefore Paul was used. But Paul was nothing more in his flesh, nothing more than a sinner saved by grace.
Yes, amen.
That's what he's saying. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. He's not claiming to be anything special in and of himself. And when he does pull rank once in a while, it's only in speech. He doesn't try to come in and take over churches and things like that. And he pulls rank by saying, I am an apostle. And I am appointed by the resurrected Jesus Christ. Therefore, you ought to listen to me. Because I'm telling you the truth. That's all the more Paul pulled when it came to rank. When people buy a lie, don't take it personal. When you're preaching the truth and people look at you and they still want the lie, it's not you. So don't take it personal. And I've seen people give up. Stop preaching the truth. Stop preaching the gospel. Stop taking a stand. Because they've been rejected and rejected and rejected and they took it personal. It's not about you. You are the messenger. That's it. And so when they get mad at you, it's not you they're mad at. When they reject your message, it's not your message they're rejecting. When you go to someone and you say the point blank truth about something and you have scripture to back it up and they reject it, they've rejected the scripture.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
They're not rejecting you. And I have to get that through because I talked to someone again this week who has allowed the rejection they've experienced from loved ones and friends and complete strangers on top of it to hurt their ministry, to cause them to sit back and to be knocked back. Let me say, I'm not big on the UFC thing or anything, but I used to watch boxing. I had a second cousin, my dad's cousin, Mark Frazee. They called him the Golden Boy. He was one of the top ranked in the world in middleweight. And I've seen him, you know, fight, and I love Mark. I was rooting for Mark, but he had this left hook, man, and he would just be standing there, and all of a sudden he'd just, bam! Didn't even look like he hit him, bam! And he hit him right on the jaw. Right, there's a button right there. Did you know that? And he goes, boom! And they drop. And I saw him fight this guy one time, and he get up, and referee look in his eye and say, "All right, well, yeah." And they go back. Mark, you know, Mark says, "Well, dang, you know, glide down." He gets back up, and he did that once or twice around. And the referee saw that he still had his faculties and kept letting him go back. And kept. I'll tell you something. I like Mark. It was my man. I was impressed. I'm impressed by a guy who can take a licking more than I am by the guy who can dish it out.
Yeah.
Especially when they're not doing anything to deserve it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some people are constantly getting knocked down because they're just stupid. Amen?
Amen.
If you're pulling, you're calling things down on your own head, I'm not impressed when you get back up. But, you know, people, well, Brother Mark's an example. That guy should have been dead from a car wreck, should have been dead from MRSA, should have been dead from other infections, on kidney dialysis, diabetes, and then he's not able to get around and they're going to take a foot and he's still got one that might be taken. I mean, and the guy is just standing for the Lord. That's the guy that impresses me. TV preachers don't impress me. You're going to find that out in a minute. TV preachers don't impress me. People who have it easy and take a stand, they don't impress me. People who impress me are the ones that get knocked down and stand back up.
Amen.
But Paul said, ye have not injured me at all. Why? Because he's just the messenger. The world right now is embracing Antichrist. The world right now is embracing Sodom. And the world right now hasn't injured me at all.
Amen.
They haven't injured you at all. They haven't injured Christianity at all. They haven't injured the Bible at all. They're injuring themselves and their opportunity to be right with God. That's what they're injuring.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And here we get a glimpse of the physical condition Paul was in verse 13 when he says, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Look close at that. He's infirm. Infirmity through infirmity of the flesh. There are a couple of people in the first century who claimed to have seen Paul and described what he looked like. And he's about as ugly as me. Oh, come on, you say amen. Thank you. He said he was a little short, bald, pudgy guy. He didn't have a goatee, from what they say. But he was just short, bald, pudgy, and always sick, sickly, and didn't have good vision. And, yeah, if he'd only had a goatee, I'd make some claims. Plus, he was a Jew, and I'm purebred Gentile as far as I know. But you see what I'm saying is, this guy was not, well... Some of you might feel this way. If you're still alive and conscious, God can use you.
Amen.
Even if you don't look as good as you think you should look, or even feel as you wish you could feel. You can be really sickly. Folks, there are times where I am, and I just keep going. And yesterday, when Sean and I went down there, I just had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach because of all that's going on. And I could have said, you know, Sean, I'm not feeling it today. And Sean would have said, get up. No, he wouldn't. Sean would have said, well, I understand. And, you know, and then we would have stayed home. I would have been a horrible loss on our part. I got up. I got going. And we went down there and we ate at Cracker Barrel. And then we preached on the street. And then we ate at Steak and Shake. And then we came home, and I had a real good time, even with a heavy heart. And that's what you got to get used to doing, because, folks, just get used to it. I mean, some of you may have enjoyed perfect mental and physical health up to this point. Your day's coming. I'm just here to tell you, you're going to have your bad days. You're going to have your ailments. What about this guy? He should just stay home, shouldn't he? That fella has a disease that stunted his growth, ruined his health, walking around in crutches, and he's poor as dirt. And he goes out and preaches the gospel.
Good for you.
Amen, brother.
So what's your excuse?
Amen.
Paul had reason to stay home. Paul could have stayed home. Paul could have just wrote letters and said, well, you know, I'd like to come and visit you, but, you know, I'm just very ill, and I don't think it, I just think I'll stay here in Jerusalem. And no, he didn't do that. He kept going. And God can use average Joes.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, everyone in this room is an average Joe.
Amen, brother.
There's an average Joe right there. Look at that.
Amen.
Hundreds of people saw that sign yesterday. That sign couldn't stand on its own. And Sean's standing out there holding that thing. And that's all it took. This fellow's an average Joe. Look at that sign. If you can earn it, why did he die? Amen?
Amen.
That's not Sean's twin. That's actually Sean again. But I wanted to show him. He held the other sign sometimes too. Looks good, don't he? Got a good workout. Your arm sore? And I got out there a little bit too. Average Joes. Can you hear it? You see, the people in that car heard it. Now, not everybody's going to hear it, but there are people hearing that, and that is Dwayne Average Joe Carr preaching that. He's an average Joe. He's been here before. Haven't you remember Dwayne and Larry come visit? They'll be here again, probably Lord Terry's and Lord Willen. But average Joes. He can use average Jenny's too. Now, I have to say, she's actually way above average.
Amen.
No, but she's just a sinner saved by grace. And Jenny's out there with me about half the times I'm out there. Jenny was, and Mariah used to join me more, but she's, Stephen's an average Joe being used of the Lord, and Mariah's right there helping him now. Going to make me cry. These are two ladies in an unknown location yesterday. They got the instructions. They got the
instructions.
All they did, we got a video out there telling people how to make these signs, and they're making them. And I've heard from people in several states, and some women have just made the signs. For the record, I didn't tell her to put that on that sign. I think it's great, but they didn't ask my opinion. And right in front of the Islamic Center of Tacoma.
That is awesome. I love it. That is terrific. Way to go, sisters.
Yeah. Well, that's what, there are two of them. They're in daylight, and in a post they said that there were police there. I don't know if they called ahead or whatever. But they had some hostile response, but the police were there and protected them. Now listen, folks, Johnny, I'm glad you actually brought that up, because you do have to use some common sense and be smart. And I do not promote the kind of things. See, this is the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He's risen. And that's, so they're telling them the truth. This Westboro Baptist stuff is of the devil. Amen. And it's to make people think all sign holders are like Westboro Baptists. And when we get criticized, that's usually what people bring up. Now listen, Westboro Baptists, the reason I say they're of the devil is because they're not preaching the gospel to these people. If you see them, they have their God hates whoever on there, and they don't offer the gospel.
Right.
And they are 5-point extreme hyper-Calvinists who believe those people can't be saved. And they believe that their job is just to condemn. And that's not what we're doing. We're out to preach the gospel. And if this was just attacking Muhammad, I wouldn't support it. But they're telling the truth.
Amen.
Muhammad's dead, folks. As a matter of fact, he's in hell. That's the fact. Now, you afraid to tell the truth? I'm not. But I'm not going to go around just trying to instigate anger, and I don't think that's what these are doing. I think that's wonderful. So the Galatians paid no attention to the physical, fleshly things and accepted Paul because he preached the truth. And that's how I feel about everybody, including the folks you just saw up here in these pictures and that video, that I don't care what you look like. I don't care about any of the superficial stuff. Just do the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Preachers, people tell me, oh, this guy, listen to this guy. And some of these guys, their voices are, oh, man. You ever heard a guy that preached and if you will, turn in your Bible to Galatians 7. But then I listen to him. I've heard people say that about J. Vernon McGee. They say, I just couldn't hardly stand his voice, but then I kept listening, and it was so good, I kept listening. And is he infallible? No, but he was a good Bible teacher. So verse 14, read that. And my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Oh, wow. You get that?
Amen.
Paul was not a good-looking feller. And yet, people accepted him as though he was an angel of God or even Jesus himself. You might as well, because if it's a believer that you're talking about, if it's a believer that you're talking to, he's got Jesus in him. She's got Jesus in her. You might as well treat him like Jesus. Amen? Now, I know that's with the limits. No dropping to the knees and... That's what we'll do to Jesus in due time. But how would you treat Jesus? How would you treat an angel if he showed up and was just paying you a visit? Well, that's the way you ought to try treating other Christians. Amen? But today, people choose their preacher the way a little girl chooses a Barbie doll. Amen. Most people right now are attending a church service with a preacher or pastor that they are sitting under, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God. They choose a pastor or a preacher the same way a little girl would choose a Barbie doll.
I like that one, Mommy.
There's nothing wrong with that for a little girl. Mommy gets it, hands her down, and I said Barbie doll. I don't know if that's the right term, because Barbie's a slut. What would you say, a doll baby? A doll. I should have just said doll. But doll, I mean, she dresses like a whore, folks. Don't give your kids Barbie dolls. Give them dolls, not Barbie dolls. They have these skimpy little cleavage showing, you know, it's disgusting. Don't give those little girls. But anyway, you get a nice little doll, and it has a little bottle you put in her, you know, and it pees, and they change the diaper. I never understood why that, you know, but that girls, little girls love that stuff. But when you choose a preacher that way, you're doing it in the flesh. When you choose a preacher, you should not choose that preacher because you like, did you see his hair? The silver. I mean, it was perfect. He had that silver look to it. And then when he taught, just the way he carried himself. And all those cufflinks. Why, our old pastor never would dress right. Amen? And his voice, he just has that rich, deep voice. And he says, God. He had all the right moves. He's got my vote. And he got his PhD. Piled higher and deeper. That's the flesh. You got some preacher comes in. I've seen them. Come in, wear a tie, and it's up to here. They come stomping in, got a big old Bible, go boom. All right, y'all, let's get into the Word. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. And I've seen that guy just preach the Word. Amen. And you want to tell him to fix his tie. And maybe even to talk a little different. But you know what? As long as he's going to teach the Word like that, that's all I care about. Amen. That's all any of us should care about. Because fake preachers love this. They love the fact that you're looking for the... I should have got the one where his teeth show. Because they love that smile. And that slick hair. It won't be long, he'll have a little silver there. Yeah. This is not a preacher, it's a politician.
Little over 2,000 years ago, they crucified Jesus on the cross. They put him in the grave, and they thought that was the end of it. But thank God, on the third day, he arose. He said,
sounds good,
because
huh?
I live, you shall live also.
Sounds good.
He wasn't talking about just breathing. He was talking about living an abundant life.
The here and now.
Not a barely hit by life. Not a life filled with bad habits and addictions and lack and mediocrity. No, because of the price he paid, we have a right to live in total victory. I want you to get that down on the inside. Not partial victory, to where we have a good family, we have good health, but we constantly struggle in our finances. That's not total victory. If God did it for you in one area, he can do it for you in another area.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that. Here's my thing, there is, I can't get into somebody's heart, you know. I don't know, only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know, to me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I just say, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I believe my way with all my heart.
And if someone doesn't share it,
I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but I
about atheists.
I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I believe the truth. And I say it every week, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But, I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. That's it.
Read that close. Simplicity of the gospel is destroyed right there. First of all, he won't tell a person that if you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. Then he's not a preacher. Amen. And the fact that this generation accepts that as a preacher tells you we're in the age of apostasy. Any discerning, mature Christian hears that is going to say, wait a minute. That can't be true. If the purpose of the resurrection, the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection was it so you could have your best life now, then explain to me the 12 apostles, 11 of whom were killed for preaching the gospel.
Amen.
If God intended for them to have their best life now, they should not have died as martyrs. Explain to me 2,000 years of Christian history. Where if I were to describe to you how many Christians like the Waldenses have died, some of you would be so disgusted you'd walk out of the room. Explain how so many Christians have lived and died in poverty and yet with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because their joy was not based on God, the genie in the sky, giving them everything they want in this life. Their joy is based on the fact that God Himself came in the person of Jesus Christ, died on the cross and paid the full price, paid for all my sin, was buried and rose again and conquered sin and death, and has now said to a worm like me, a sinner like me, a wicked reprobate who ought to be burning in hell right now, God said to me, I will save you if you will believe on me.
Amen.
That's my joy. I don't have to have cars, houses, money. I don't have to have any of that to have joy. And God never promised me any of that. And a man who stands up here and says that in his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ was on the cross dying so you could be rich and completely healthy, that's a con man. And that's why he lives the way he does. He's got multiple homes worth millions of dollars, and you suckers out there continue to send him money. And you wonder why the world thinks Christianity is a joke. That's why they think Christianity is a joke. Because you're a joke if you're stupid enough to send that man money.
Amen. Amen.
Have I become your enemy? Because that's the truth about Joel Osteen. That's the truth about a bunch of these kooks and crackpots on TV. T.D. Jakes, that sellout fake. The week after the Supreme Court made the decision to make sodomite marriage legal in this country, T.D. fakes, gets on TV and says he's not going to preach about it. Because you're a fake, T.D.